Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin on this International Women's Day with what is being described as the Republican War on Women, being waged on Capitol Hill and in state houses across the country. Joining us is the Senior Vice President of Greenberg Quinlan Rosner, Dr. Anna Greenberg, the lead author of a survey released today on behalf of Emily's List and the Planned Parenthood Action Fund to explore the impact of the birth control debate on voters in eight battleground Senate states. Then we'll discuss the influence of Ayn Rand on today's politics with Gary Weiss, the author of a new book, Ayn Rand Nation, The Hidden Struggle for America's Soul. We will discuss what is behind the revival of this obscure cult-like ideologue whose posthumous backers, the Koch brothers and others, are distributing her books for free to schools and colleges across the country to gain adherence to an anti-government, pro-business philosophy that espouses altruism is evil, selfishness is a virtue, and greed is good. Then finally, we'll examine the new study released today by the Southern Poverty Law Center that finds a record level of extremist hate groups and militias emerging in 2011. Brian Levin, the director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at Cal State University San Bernardino, joins us to discuss the report's findings and how much the growth of right-wing extremism is fueled by pervasive racist calumnies against America's first black president, changing demographics, and globalism. And joining us now is Dr. Anna Greenberg, the Senior Vice President of Greenberg Quinlan Rosner and an expert on survey research methodology. In 2006, she played a key role in helping to elect Democratic women to Congress, including Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar and Arizona's Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Previously, she taught at Harvard University's John F. Kennedy School of Government and was a visiting scholar with the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press and a research fellow at American University's Center for Congressional and Presidential Studies. She's the lead author on a survey released today on behalf of Emily's List and the Planned Parenthood Action Fund to explore the impact of the birth control debate on voters in eight battleground Senate states. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Anna Greenberg.
Thank you.
And tell me it seems that there's so many fronts that are operating now in terms of legislative activism at both the House and state houses. Today in the House, for example, the Child Interstate Abortion Notification Act, sponsored by Marco Rubio of the Senate and Ileana Ross-Layton of the House, that was debated. It would make it illegal for anyone but a parent to accompany a young woman across state lines to seek an abortion, even if her parents are absent or abusive. And there are all kinds of bills. State legislatures introduced more than 1,100 anti-abortion provisions and have enacted 135 of them by last year's end. Seven states have either fully defunded or made moves towards defunding Planned Parenthood. So it goes on. I thought much of this, and I'm sure a lot of women in this country feel that these were battles that were won sometimes back in the 20s and 30s. What explains this resurgence?
It's largely a reflection of Republican-based politics. In 2010, when the Republicans took over the House of Representatives and took over a number of state houses and legislatures around the country, the first order of business for many of them was to introduce anti-abortion legislation. I mean, recall that the very first piece of legislation that the House Republicans introduced and passed had to do with abortion, and it's all about base politics. There has been a growing polarization in the country, and also ideological extremism with both parties. It's not just the Republican Party, both the Democratic and Republican parties at the level of elected officials, especially Congress, are sort of increasingly distant ideologically from average voters. And on the Republican side, they have a very important Christian, conservative base, and these kinds of social issues are top of their agenda, and that's exactly what you've seen happen all over the country.
So this is genuinely driven by religious fervor and conviction. It's not a case of cynicism where we talk about everything about the economy and the important things about which we have done nothing or, in fact, made the conditions worse.
Well, there's certainly no evidence that it's helped the Republicans. In fact, since the Republicans took over the House, their brand, if you will, their favorability has declined pretty rapidly over the last year and a half. And in part, I think it's because of a very single-minded focus on social issues, and the degree to which they've focused on economic issues is largely around budget deficit and cuts and trying to dismantle Medicare and Social Security as a way to deal with the budget deficit. And there's a way in which your average voter wonders, why are we, you know, either talking about abortion or birth control or, you know, privatizing Medicare when we have now 8.3% unemployment? There's been no job bill introduced or passed, for example, by the House of Representatives. So I think your average voter is a little mystified, and you can see it in the ratings that the Republicans currently have. You know, there was a point when going into the 2010 election where the Republicans had higher favorability ratings than the Democrats, and that is now reversed. So I'm not suggesting that Democrats have great ratings, but they're certainly better than the Republicans.
So this somewhat inexplicable shift from a 2008 record turnout, a sweep by the Democrats getting the whole trifecta, the White House, the House and the Senate, 2 years later there's a blowout in the opposite direction. Do you think that the pendulum was going to swing back the other way in 2012?
I don't know the answer to that question, because so much really depends on the economy and whether or not the momentum that appears to be gathering around the recovery continues. And I'm not an economist, but economists are divided about whether or not the recovery continues. And I think that has a bigger impact, frankly, than anything else on what happens in 2012. But the social issue debates, and I say the word debate in quotation marks because your average voter doesn't think there's any debate about birth control. There's almost near consensus on both the importance of access to birth control and the importance of employers and insurers covering birth control, but at the elite level, which again is largely about base politics, it has not helped the Republicans, both because it seems to be a distraction from the really important issues, but also because it seems so far out of the mainstream. In fact, Romney was interesting when he was asked about the Blunt Amendment initially, which is a piece of legislation that would say that any institution, any employer could decide that not to cover any medical procedure if it violated their morals or religious, and it's not restricted to birth control or abortion, but obviously it would cover that. And initially, when they asked him about it, not realizing what he was being asked, he said, well, why would I want to get in the middle of a debate about birth control with a man and a woman? That's their decision. And then, you know, a few hours later, he realized, oops, that's not base politics. And he said, oh, I didn't realize you were talking about the Blunt Amendment. Of course I'm for the Blunt Amendment. So I think even, you know, Romney, who's trying very hard to play to the right, in an unguarded moment, acknowledge the consensus we have about birth control and it being, you know, a private decision between people who are who need it for whatever reason, and certainly not something that government should be involved in.
Again, I'm speaking with Dr. Anna Greenberg, who is a expert on survey research methodology. She's with the senior vice president with Quinlan, with Greenberg Quinlan Rosner, and she is the lead author of a study released today on behalf of Emily's List and the Planned Parenthood Action Fund to explore the impact of the birth control debate on voters in 8 battleground Senate states. Before we get to your study, Anna Greenberg, today a group of women senators held a press conference on Capitol Hill to warn John Boehner in the House not to take up the Blunt Amendment. There's certainly no guarantee that that won't happen. The Blunt Amendment, of course, was so poorly written that any business could opt out on the basis of a conscience. I mean, Scientologist businesses could, of course, deny coverage for anything to do with psychiatry, etc. It was such a poorly drawn piece of legislation. I'm surprised that the House will pick it up, but I suspect they might.
Well, that what the women senators did, which actually I think was smart, was largely a political ploy, which is to say, put Speaker Boehner on the spot and force him to either say, no, I'm not going to bring this up for a vote, in which case you annoy the base, or put him in a position of saying, yes, I'm going to bring it to a vote, in which case it would pass. There's over 220 Republican co-sponsors of the legislation, in which case you have another week or two of coverage around what, in the poll that was released today, 60% of Americans, oppose. And it further sort of gives the impression that the Republican Party is not in the mainstream. I think that the Republican Party is so trapped by its base, particularly in the middle of a Republican primary process where Mitt Romney, who is not the conservative candidate, is trying to be the conservative candidate against some very conservative candidates, that it's very hard for Republicans to break out of this, and I am sure there are a number of them who would be more than happy to not have another 2 weeks of a conversation about birth control, because that's another 2 weeks where, A, they're talking about issues where most Americans disagree with them and see them as outside of the mainstream, and, B, another couple weeks of not talking about the economy and attacking Obama's sort of stewardship of the economy. So really, that press conference by these senators was mostly to force John Boehner's hand.
Well, the New Hampshire Republican-controlled House, of course, voted yesterday to exempt religious institutions from having to include contraceptive coverage in health insurance plans, very reminiscent of the Blunt Amendment. However,
well, and by the way, let me just say about New Hampshire. I mean, they have a big governor's race there. This is a very libertarian state. It is not. It is a conservative state, primarily on fiscal issues. It is not a religiously conservative state. It is a majority pro-choice state. They had, a Republican takeover of the legislature in 2010. I think this is a huge mistake for Republicans in New Hampshire. I think it actually sets up the Democratic candidate for governor in a way that, frankly, there's a primary, so you don't know who it's going to be, but this candidate was not set up before. So even at the state level, doing these sort of things, especially in a state like New Hampshire, which is a pretty socially liberal state, is, in my view, a huge error. I would add Scott Brown, who's the incumbent Republican in Massachusetts, who is a co-sponsor of the Blunt Amendment, again, I think another significant miscalculation on the part of Republicans in, basically blue states.
Well, just before this vote in New Hampshire, the Kaiser Family Foundation survey indicated that 63% of Americans favored Obama's policy requiring free birth control coverage for female employees. And the survey of 1,500 adults showed public opinion breaking more strongly towards party affiliation than gender on contraceptives, with 83% for Democrats, 62% for independents, and 42% for Republicans favoring the policy. So tell us about your findings released today, Anna Greenberg.
Well, we have had a very similar result in that a majority of people favored, in our poll, it was 55%, favored insurers and employers, covering contraception, and that's without the religious exemption that emerged out of the quote-unquote compromise. What was interesting is that when we tested the compromise, which would allow an employer not to pay for the coverage, but require the insurer to pay for it. So in essence, if you were a religious institution, you wouldn't directly be paying for, say, birth control coverage. People were less likely to support the compromise. And frankly, that was because people who were pro-choice didn't like the compromise. So I think in the president's attempt to sort of tack to the center on this, though center, again, when you're in an area where there's consensus, the center is pretty progressive. It turns out that compromise actually was less popular because it alienated pro-choice and progressive voters. The other thing I would say about the Kaiser results that you just mentioned, it's absolutely the case that partisanship trumps gender on a lot of issues. People assume this is a quote-unquote women's issue, but in fact, there are as many men who oppose this policy as there are women, and really, where someone sits ideologically has a bigger impact on where they are on this issue. What's also interesting about those numbers is that you have a majority of independent voters who support the policy, and a significant number of Republicans. I mean, in a country that is so polarized around party, Republicans are pretty divided on this. And again, it just goes to my point about this being an area of consensus for people, and Republicans sort of picking a fight because of their base politics that does not position them well with average voters.
And in the key seven states, right, that you looked, eight battleground states, for the Senate. That was your mandate, right?
Yes, we did a poll across Senate states, so, Massachusetts, Missouri, a range of other of Senate races. Obviously, the Senate races are pretty important this cycle, especially as Maine's Governor, Senator Olympia Snowe decided not to run again. It actually makes the Senate a little more competitive for Democrats, and so that's why we were looking at those races.
Well, we saw what happened in Virginia. It seems to me that there is politics to some extent is Pavlovian. At a certain point, when the electorate feels sufficient pain, they get up off the couches and go out. And in this case, in Virginia, they stormed the state house. Thousands of people showed up.
Well, it's true. I mean, what's really been interesting about all of this is after the feeling of Republican dominance, especially after the 2010 elections, there's been a pretty significant backlash. And it's not just Virginia, where you had this kind of invasive ultrasound bill around abortion, but it's Rush Limbaugh. So you have, people backing off on the Republican side, which is somewhat unprecedented.
Well, it's true.
I don't know that it has the potential to do major mobilization in the election, but it's certainly been interesting to watch, 50 advertisers leave the Limbaugh show, Governor McDonald, who's on the short list, probably to be a vice presidential candidate on the Republican ticket, have to, basically back down, though the legislation they ultimately passed is still pretty terrible from a pro-choice perspective. And so it's interesting to watch Republicans sort of get burned as they kind of mindlessly pursue this kind of base politics strategy.
Well, but it doesn't seem to in any way to have deterred the Kansas legislature. Just today, and I think by Monday, they'll take the vote. The House, the Senate seems poised, and the governor's already... Actually, there's a chance the Senate may not pass it, but the governor, former Senator Sam Brownback, is all too willing to pass a law now that will make women have to pay for abortions, and even victims of rape. And they've also apparently in this bill, they've included some text that says that medical students can't be taught to perform abortions, which is a whole new level of intrusion into finding ways to either frustrate, humiliate, embarrass, shame women into preventing them from doing something that they clearly do with great reluctance in the first place.
Well, of course it doesn't dissuade the true believers. I mean, and certainly not in a state like Kansas, which is a very conservative state with a very conservative governor and legislature. And, in Kansas, there will be very little consequence to passing that sort of legislation because it's a very conservative place. But I do think that Republicans have gone too far. I think that there are many women who would not consider themselves feminists who believe they have the right to determine their own trajectory in life, and that includes controlling when they have a baby or if they have a baby, and that everybody's circumstance is different and that you can't legislate around these issues. And I just, I've worked for the pro-choice movement for a long time, and it's been hard to get people, especially people who were born after Roe versus Wade, was decided, which is now about 40 years on, to believe that a woman's right to choose or her reproductive health was, under assault. And I think that what the Republicans have been doing over the last year and a half, especially now, has done more for the pro-choice movement and more to, if you look at the number of people who are now joining, contributing to pro-choice organizations, has done more to mobilize the other side than they, I think, possibly could have imagined. And so I think it backfires, honestly.
Well, it's so strange that Rush Limbaugh should become the spokesperson against contraception. I think he's been married 3 or 4 times and still doesn't have any children. So I don't want to speculate why he's avoided parenthood.
Well, the hypocrisy of many people on the right never surprises me anymore. So.
Okay. Well, on this International Women's Day, I thank you for joining us here today, Dr. Anna Greenberg.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Anna Greenberg, who's a senior vice president at Greenberg Quinlan Rosner and an expert on survey research methodology. In 2006, she played a key role in helping to elect Democratic women to Congress, including Minnesota's Senator Amy Klobuchar and Arizona's Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Previously, she taught at Harvard University's John F. Kennedy School of Government and was a visiting scholar with the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, and is a research fellow at American University's Center for Congressional and Presidential Studies. She is the lead author on a survey released today on behalf of Emily's List and the Planned Parenthood Action Fund to explore the impact of the birth control debate on voters in 8 battleground Senate states. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about Ayn Rand's Nation, the hidden struggle for America's soul.
Hey, beautiful bird, I said, digging her somber mood. The fascists are some heavy dudes. They don't really give a damn about life. They just don't want a woman to control her body or have the right to choose. But baby, that ain't nothing. They just want a male finger on the button. Because if you say war, they will send them to die by the score. A A boarding mission should be your volition, but if Suda and Thomas have their way...